I am excited to get into today. We are on a 5-week series of fasting, and we're answering all the questions revolving around fasting. And last week, we explored the question of what is fasting. So we answered the question, we defined it to what fasting is, I showed you biblical examples of what fasting was, and then also the types of fasting. And so last week we walked away with an understanding of what fasting is. We walked away with a challenge of what fast we would commit to. And then I left you for the week to figure out what that was. And so I just want to ask the question, how is the fast going for everybody? Did everybody who agreed to fast get their fast in this week? By a show of hands, who tried to fast and then had issues in fasting? I started my fast on Monday, but the second Monday of the month is our business, our board meeting on Monday nights, and so the whole day was just nonstop doing stuff, and I got home from my bus route in the PM, and I told Alicia, I said, I got to get over to the office, I've still got stuff to do, and I said, I'm just going to eat. I have not taken the time to pray today. I'm just being real with you. I'm not perfect. It's okay that if we don't, right? Like, you need to understand. I failed at my fast on Monday because I did not set aside the time for prayer. I did not set aside the time to get in my Bible. I was just focused on getting stuff ready for the board meeting. And 5:30 came, board meeting's here, and I'm like, I just didn't succeed today. So I ended my fast and had supper before the board meeting, and then I did my fast later on in the week. So that's what I mean, did anyone struggle? I completed my fast, just not on the intended day that I started my fast. And just know this, it's okay. It's not about the time, it's about the heart. Do you hear me this morning? It's about the heart behind the fast. So sometimes we find, like I did, we get in our own way. That's what happened to me. I got in my own way. I focused on things that I thought were priority. In reality, I could have taken time. I just didn't, and shame on me. But I did on Wednesday. And so we find ourselves too busy sometimes. Sometimes we get into, as we make strides in our discipleship journey, this whole theme that we have been going through is taking ownership of our discipleship. I can't make you want to be a disciple of Jesus. Guess whose responsibility that is? It's all on you. I can't make you do it. But as we make strides to achieve that, to become a disciple, we find ourselves running into situations that distract us. And listen, it's okay. Reset, refocus, and dive back in. And so today we're going to build upon the foundation that we laid last week of what is fasting. And today we're going to answer the question of why do we fast? Why do we fast? And so understanding the purpose behind fasting is going to help us engage with God more deeply and live out our faith more intentionally. Now, I know it seems like a simple answer this morning, but I want to dive into it because if you remember last week, I said I wanted a red Corvette. Who was here and heard me say I want a red Corvette, right? Now, side note, I'm disappointed that nobody took that serious and went to Walmart and bought me a Hot Wheels red Corvette and put up here on the pulpit. You missed a great opportunity for some fun. But do we fast for once? No. We don't fast because we want something. We don't fast because we want to gain God's favor to give us something. Listen, God is not a genie in a bottle. He is not there that we can fast when we want something or we need something, when in reality fasting is to draw closer to Him, not to see our wishes, our wants, our desires to be fulfilled. And so this journey of fasting to seek more of the Lord, or the desperation. If you remember last week, we defined the desperation as not as hopelessness, but a holy desire for more of Him. This desperation that we have for more of Him, the pursuit of owning, taking responsibility of our discipleship journey, our willingness to humble ourselves and submit. That's the definition of fasting, is to humble and submit to Him. When we do this, it will give God room to work freely in our lives. In fact, it accelerates our faith and our trust in Him, because while we are fasting, who are we relying on for our sustenance? Him. We rely on Him. He is our priority. And church, I firmly believe as we continue on in this fasting journey, fasting one day a week. And listen, if you didn't sign up for it, we didn't pass around a sign up, but if you didn't say, hey, I'm going to start fasting with the church, I encourage you, jump on this week. Give this week a try, because here's what I firmly believe. This is a transformational opportunity for our church. What do I mean by transformational? I don't mean new building, new this. I mean a renewed, ouch, my leg just gave out, a renewed sense of focus. I weightlifted on Friday, and we did squats, weighted squats, and I haven't done that for 25 years, so my legs are really weak. The two boys over there know exactly what I'm talking about. They hurt right here, right above the knee. So when the knee bends, it wants to just keep going. So sorry for that distraction, but now you know. There's no recovery from that. Anyways, what I mean by transformational is it'll renew church-wide desire for the Lord. It will give the Lord room to speak and to lead us. And it will set us on a path that is fulfilling His plan for our church, not our own. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you please open them and find the book of Joel? The book of Joel, we are going to be in the second chapter, verses 12 through 17. Now, Joel you can find in the Old Testament. It is considered a minor prophet book, and it is nestled between Hosea and Amos. So find yourself the book of Joel. And before we read that, it is Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Joel chapter 2. So fasting isn't to be done for an outward show. It is not to be done to gain attention of others. We covered that last week. And fasting should not be used to boast about one's piety, religious acts, or to look down on others who aren't fasting. So this morning, if your understanding of fasting is something like that, if your mind is more concerned with the act of fasting instead of then deepening your spiritual connection with God, then the fast is not serving the intended purpose. At that point, we can call it dieting. We're fasting just to fast. So what is our purpose? And it is about deepening our spiritual connection with God. Our Bible reading this morning, Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, it says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach. A byword among the nations, why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?" Now, much bigger context to what we just read, but I want to focus on what we see here at the beginning of Joel. And at the beginning of Joel in verses 12 and 13, what we see is God's instruction to return to Him. Return to the Lord. It's a call to repentance. It's a reminder of God's character. What we just read is a promise of restoration, and it's a plea for God's kindness. So today, we're going to focus in on verses 12 and 13, and that is to return to Him. So this morning, we have 4 points that I want to cover, and I hope that these answer the question of why do we fast. Are you ready? The first one, The first reason why we fast is to seek God's presence. See, when we fast and our desire is on the Lord, when our focus is to draw closer to Him, to deeper spiritually connect with Him, to focus on Him, to hear Him more clearly, we are seeking after God. If we are doing it, remember what I said last week, what is fasting without prayer? Dieting. So I did a half-day diet on Monday, right? It's okay, I refocused and I got... But if we look at Jeremiah 29:13, it says this. It tells us, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. See, fasting, it creates space for us to hear God's voice. It creates space for us to focus on Him. Fasting doesn't manipulate God. That's the first thing you need to understand. Fasting does not manipulate God, but rather it aligns our hearts with His. It doesn't align God's heart with ours. It aligns our heart with His and with His will and His purposes in our lives. In fact, we see this with Moses on Mount Sinai. If you find this story in Genesis, Moses fasted for 40 days, not Genesis, Exodus. I should have written that note down. Where my Bible scholars in here, my people who faithfully read their Bible, Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. That was in Numbers or Deuteronomy. We don't know. We're just going to name all the beginning books of the Bible, and we're going to assume it's... Does anyone know? Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments. It's Deuteronomy, isn't it? Yeah, Deuteronomy. Sorry, I said Genesis, but it's Deuteronomy. So Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai while in the presence of God. At this time, he received the Ten Commandments. But during this time, he went without food. Now, this was a supernatural thing that happened. But I can promise you, in that 40 days, when we see the presence of God come down on the mountain, we know that Moses was fully focused on hearing from God in a profound way. Very profound. Just as Moses sought after God's presence through fasting, we can use fasting to draw closer to Him and to hear His voice in a profound way. The intention and the purpose is to draw closer to the Lord. It's no different than when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai. We can meet through the Holy Spirit. We can meet with God to hear His voice in a profound way. Because when we're truly in the presence of God... Thank you, PJ. PJ texted me, 40 days and 40 nights, Moses fasted. Thank you, bud. I appreciate that.
Exodus.
What?
Exodus.
PJ, you want to come finish my notes for me, please? I should have just written down the example instead of just referencing, because I knew I would try to say the book up here and just disaster. So know this, if you're called to ministry, make sure you take good footnotes so you can reference it so you don't do this. So, when we are truly in the presence of God, we need to understand this. We do this before we do communion. We deal with our sin. When we are in the presence of God, we are confronted, we are convicted of our sin, which leads us to our next point, the next thing of why we fast. Fasting as an expression of repentance. So, why do we fast? To express repentance. The act of fasting requires us to deal with sin. It requires us to repent of sin. If what we're fasting is to draw closer to God, so if we are seeking and desiring to grow closer to the most holy and the most perfect God, how can sin be ignored? It can't be. It has to be dealt with. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. See, fasting allows us to confront areas of sin that may have been ignored. It's when we humble ourselves, it's when we align our hearts with God, that His holiness and His grace abound, which means we have to deal with sin that is present in our lives. When we think of the people of Nineveh, the story of Jonah going to Nineveh, when Jonah warned the people, and that's in the book of Jonah, by the way. When Jonah warned the people of Nineveh about God's coming judgment, the Lord said, "Hey, go, because I'm about to deal with them. Tell them." They responded with fasting, with sackcloth, and with genuine repentance. We see in Jonah even the king himself humbled. He declared a fast for everyone in the nation, including animals, to express sorrow and turn from their wicked ways. They dealt with sin. See, this shows us that fasting is a heartfelt act of repentance. It brings us back into alignment with God. So without repentance and genuine, "I repent for the sin," how do we align with God in our fast? We don't. So sin has to be dealt with. When we've aligned our hearts with God through repentance, fasting also becomes a way in which we can seek His direction, where we can ask Him for guidance as we make decisions. We can ask for wisdom and just presence in our lives. And that leads us to the third reason for why do we fast. It's to seek guidance. It's to seek what the Lord would have of us. See, it is often when we are more spiritually in tune with the Lord that His way, His path, His decisions, His desires, His guidance is most clear in our life. If you find yourself in a spot where you don't know what's next, or you don't know what the Lord's calling you to, or you don't know why you're walking through whatever it is that you are walking through, maybe we need to fast so we can seek Him, so we can become spiritually in tune, where we understand His desire in our life. In fact, we see this, we used this verse last week, but it's a perfect example. Acts 13, verse 2. While the believers were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." See, fasting doesn't guarantee clarity, but it postures us to receive guidance as we prioritize God's will over our desires. So as we focus on God, not on what we want, not on the red Corvette, not on what I want, not on this, not on that, but we focus on God and His guidance in our life. Last week, as we used this verse, we know that God answered prayer as they were seeking. He gave guidance. He told the leaders of the early church as they fasted and worshiped. And I think it's key to point out, everything I've used is about fasting. See, God answers when we fast, because we are focused and we are drawing closer to Him. Now, if you do not have the intention, if you do not have the desire to be closer to Him, you are simply dieting. And you should not expect to hear from a holy God if we can't desire more of Him. But as they fasted and they were making important decisions, God called to them and said that, "I need you to set apart Saul and Barnabas, because I have a plan for them," and we know that to be their first missionary journey. It was during this time of fasting that the Lord used the Holy Spirit and clearly spoke and provided guidance to the new believers and Saul and Barnabas. Just as the early church fasted to seek God's will, do you know that we can fast to gain clarity and direction in our life? It wasn't just for the early times, it's for today as well. So if you're confused about life, if things aren't going, you don't know, maybe you should put it to a fast. Maybe it's time to seek after the Lord. Fasting not only deepens our connection with God, but it also empowers us to intercede for others. And this is the fourth point. And I had a wonderful conversation with somebody this week who is lifting somebody up in prayer as part of their fast, and it couldn't be better, because we can also, why do we fast? To intercede for others. Fasting is an opportunity for us to lift others up to the Lord, to lift up their situation, to lift up their struggle. Psalms chapter 35, verse 13, it says this, "But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest." See, fasting for others mirrors Christ's intercession for us. You know that Christ is interceding for each one of us before the Father. It allows us to partner with God in praying for breakthroughs, in praying for healing, in praying for salvation for those that we care about. We see this in Daniel. Daniel fasted and prayed for Israel. See, Daniel interceded for the people of Israel by praying and fasting when he realized that the 70 years of exile prophesied by Jeremiah was coming to an end. And so Daniel, he fasted and he prayed and he confessed the sins of the nation and he pleaded with God for mercy and for restoration of Israel. Daniel's heartfelt prayer shows deep concern for others and reliance on God's mercy. See, Daniel's fasting and prayer, it demonstrates to us how intercession by praying for others, lifting others up, can bring about God's plan for deliverance and restoration in someone else's life. It also emphasizes the power of seeking God on someone else's behalf through fasting to ask God to intervene on their behalf. And so I wonder this morning, when's the last time you lifted somebody up to the Lord in prayer and fasting? Do you have family members that are far from the Lord? Do you have a coworker who just belittles you all the time because you're a Christian? Do you find them, your friend, your family, whoever it is, do they lack hope because they don't know Jesus Christ? Would you know that it might be worth giving up one day of food to lift them before the Lord? Maybe it's years of doing this. But how do we not know if we don't try? See, Daniel's fasting, it gives us opportunity to say, I want to lift this person up. I want to intercede on this person's behalf or on the church's behalf, on whatever it is. But it's not just for personal. It's not just for my benefit that I fast. I fast for the benefit of others as well. So this week, as we get prepared to go out, it is our responsibility as we take on our discipleship to reflect on these points in these scriptures today. It is our responsibility to identify our personal spiritual reason for fasting. So why are we going to fast this week? Last week was what is fasting, and we put it to practice. I feel like we're becoming good at what we're doing here. So this week, we need to identify our own spiritual purpose for fasting. Why are we fasting this week? Are we fasting this week to seek God's presence? Are we fasting this week to express repentance in our life? Are we fasting this week to seek guidance from God? Or are we fasting this week to intercede for someone? So whether it's like Noah, like Moses, who was seeking God's presence, or it was like Nineveh, who was repenting, or the early church in Acts, who was seeking God's guidance, or was it like Daniel, who was interceding? Each purpose, here's what you need to know, you can't pick a wrong purpose. Each purpose leads us closer to God. And do you know that's the purpose of fasting? Is to get closer to God, to share more of God's heart. So this week, while you fast, Emma, if you'd like to make your way up, this week while you fast, make sure you put focus on prayer. Remember what I said last week, you guys are going to become sufficient in this. Fasting without prayer is what? Dieting. Don't diet this week, fast this week. fast to draw closer to Him, fast to desire more of Him, fast to make His purposes known in your life. And listen, if a day gets away from you that you intend to fast, it's okay. Refocus, do it again. Find yourself, though. Find yourself making time to be in the Word. If you're not in the Word, you don't know how to get in the Word, guess what? We have Bible reading plans back here, out the doors and to the left. You can grab a Bible reading plan. You can jump in anywhere and just practice being in the Word of God. Find yourself in constant prayer. One of the things that I personally have found as I fast is it's not just a start and stop. It's not a, hey, Lord, I want this, or I need this, or I'm drawing closer to You. I need more revelation of You in my life. But it's a constant putting everything to prayer. Hey, Lord, I see this. I pray for this. I pray for that. We need this. We do this. It's constant prayer. And then it's just dwelling on the things of the Lord throughout the day. As God speaks to you, as He reveals things to you, whether through prayer or through His Word, you have something to dwell on. If you're interceding for a person, anytime that person pops up into your head, guess what? Put them to prayer. Lord, I don't know what they're facing right now. I don't know what they're going through, but Lord, You do. Lord, I just pray that Your mercy and grace would be revealed to them. Lord, that they would gain victory in this, that this, and just put yourself to practice about praying, being in the Word, dwelling on the things of the Lord throughout the day. This will help set you up for a successful fast. If you don't, you'll be like me on Monday, who at 5 o'clock said, this did not go the way I wanted it to, and my night is spoken for. And maybe I didn't need to throw in the towel, but I threw in the towel. And you need to hear this, because I'm your pastor. I failed, but I did it again on Wednesday. It's okay. It's not about the hours, but the intention behind it. Remember that. So as we wrap things up today, let's remember that fasting is not about personal growth. It's not about the things that we want. It's not about getting to a desired weight, but rather it's about advancing the kingdom of God. Fasting's purpose is to help us become better prepared to advance the kingdom of God. When we fast, we are seeking God's presence. We are repenting of our sins. We are discerning His guidance in our life. We are interceding for others. And guess what? All of this aligns us with His mission. All of this prepares us to go out and do what? Make disciples. So engaging our community for Jesus, it starts with each one of us returning to God with all of our hearts. As Joel chapter 2, 12 through 13 declares, when we humble ourselves, when we seek Him with sincerity, when we allow Him to transform us, we become vessels for His love and His grace to flow through us into our families, our neighborhoods, and into our workplaces. This week as we fast and as we pray, I challenge you to ask God, how can your personal transformation, how can what you're seeking, what the Lord is doing in and through you, how can that be used to impact those around you? Ask the Lord, if you will, who in your life needs to experience His presence? Who needs someone to intercede on their behalf? Does everybody know somebody who's going through a hard time right now? If not, you live in a hole. If not, maybe it's you. Maybe you are going through that hard time right now. And maybe you need someone to intercede on your behalf. Look around the room. I'm serious. Look around the room. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ in here. We are all here to uplift and support one another. If you need intercession on your behalf, ask somebody this morning. I'm really struggling. Or I'm really facing this really hard thing right now. Would you fast and intercede for me this week? I'll do it. ask yourself, how can your repentance inspire others to seek Him? How can your obedience to Him draw others to Him? As we engage with God this week on our fast, understand this. He is equipping each and every one of us to better engage our community for Jesus. Don and Dusty, your community is different than Ken's community, is different than Dal and Patty's, is different than Todd's, different than Samantha's, different than Doug's, different than mine. My community is Rochelle and a bunch of kids on a school bus. Because that's what I see 5 days a week. Doug, you might work with some of the roughest men you know, but that's the community that God has uniquely prepared you to be in. David, same with you, with all the truck drivers you meet on the road. Dusty, same with you. We each have our own community, right? We're part of a bigger community, but the Lord has given us spheres of influence, if you will. And as we engage with God through fasting this week, know that He is equipping you to better engage the community that He has put you in. Do you understand that this morning? So let us be a church this morning that doesn't just fast to grow closer to God for ourselves. While there is personal benefit in doing it, we don't do it just for ourselves. We fast to see His will accomplished in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So if you know somebody who desperately needs to know the Lord, you've talked to them how many times and they have just turned a blind ear, a deaf ear to you and no longer want to receive it, maybe, just maybe, it's time to put that person to a fast. Maybe it's time for you to fast and start to intercede and pleading the blood of Jesus over their life. Would you stand with me this morning? You just bow your head and close your eyes. This is a personal moment between you and the Lord, and not for wandering eyes. And as we've talked about fasting and how do we draw closer to God, and maybe you found yourself this morning listening and realizing you don't have that relationship with Him yet. The good news is this. Here's the good news. God is inviting you to return to Him today. Just as Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says, God is inviting you to return to Him. Know this, Jesus made a way for you. Through His death, through His resurrection, Jesus offers forgiveness for your sins and a new life with Him this morning. So if you've been feeling far from God and you're not sure that you even have a relationship with God, or maybe you have, but you found yourself drifting away, and you're saying, God is saying, hey, it's time for you to surrender your heart to me. I want you to know today is the day. Know this, He loves you, and He's calling you to come home. He's calling you to come to Him. So this morning, if you're ready to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, to turn from your old life and embrace the new life that He offers you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you this morning, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Church, let's join in this prayer together. Would you just repeat after me this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. At this moment, I accept you as Lord and Savior. I submit my life to you. I believe in this moment you have forgiven me of my sins. I commit myself to you today from this moment on. And I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I don't care if it's one or if it's 100. One person coming to the Lord is enough for me. And this morning, we had one person respond to the message. And for that, I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need to know this. The angels in heaven are celebrating over you right now. Scripture tells us that there's a party in heaven going on just for you. So it just encourages me. And so please see me if you have questions. I want to help you in your discipleship journey. And for the rest of us today, we're not done. I want to invite each of us to respond to God's word today. It's easy just to move on past this moment, but I believe that this past week has probably been a challenge for some of us. Maybe we've seen or we've faced some things, and today we just need to be challenged to seek His presence more, to seek Him more deeply, to repent, to ask for His guidance, or maybe it's to intercede for somebody. Listen, if that's our purpose and intention for this week, maybe we start today. Maybe we start by putting it to prayer today. So whatever God is stirring in your heart, don't leave here today without taking your first step of faith. And with that, the altar is open. The altar is open for you to come, to kneel, to spend time in prayer, to seek after Him. If you need someone to pray with you, listen, I'm here. I've got others who are willing to pray with you, to stand with you, to intercede on your behalf. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and you need to lay down a burden. Maybe it's because I have no direction. I don't know where life is going. I don't know what's next, and I just need the Lord to give me some guidance. Or maybe you have someone on your heart that, as we went through these 4 points, the Lord said, this is who I want you to start interceding for this week. Here's who I want you to put to a fast this week and start praying for them. We don't do a fast because we are good. We do a fast because we are obedient to the Lord. So let this be a moment of surrender and where we start to seek God. So as the worship team leads in a song or plays a song, whatever they're doing, listen, it's easy to get distracted with the words. It's easy to get distracted with what's happening next. Don't miss this opportunity to respond to the Lord. Take time and dig in. And listen, here's the greatest thing. The Lord says to come as you are. And let God meet you right here. Amen.